morning will be Psalm 106, verses 32 and 34. Psalm 106, 32 and 33. They angered him also at the waters of strife. So when it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, that he spoke rashly with his lips. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God, Spirit, and Truth. We're so thankful for those that help us serve, so many individuals that certainly step up when there are voids, and we're certainly thankful for that. Always thankful for those that help us serve. Before I get into this morning's lesson, I would like to preface it with the elders did not trust me to teach this lesson or preach this lesson. Every once in a while, the elders will say, "Kyle, I think that this is something that needs to be talked about or preached on." And the reason I say that is this lesson does have a lot of implications in relation to our elders. We certainly love them, and we are very thankful for them as we look at one of the great leaders, Moses. But this lesson's inspiration actually came from my father. I appreciate the times I have with my father to discuss things. And fortunately, we have those opportunities, and those discussions I hold near and dear to my heart. I remember when my dad lost his father and how hard that was on him, and it really left an impression on me to try to appreciate every moment I have with my father. But we were having a discussion one day, and I won't discuss everything that was in that discussion, but the discussion kind of went to heaven. And perhaps people we'd like to have conversations about certain things that perhaps we'd like to talk about. You know, it's just one of those conversations, you know, just trying to let your mind float for a few minutes. And my dad said, "I'd really like to talk to Moses. I would really like to talk to Moses." He said, "I'd like to talk to Moses about him breaking those tablets." He said, "I'd like to talk to Moses about at the edge of the promised land." He said, "I'd like to talk to Moses when the people were rebelling against him." He said, "I'd like to talk to Moses about the people complaining." Because my dad kind of said, he said, "As I reflect on Moses, he was one of the great leaders of endurance." And certainly when we think of our elders and we think of leaders, that is a trait that if lacking, can cause a lot of problems. But as I reflect on Moses, and as was read for us from Psalms, we see that Moses does make a mistake. He certainly does. But I think sometimes we miss everything that led up to Moses' mistake. All the incidences that Moses was tested, and time again, I'm not trying to justify what happens with Moses, not at all. He made a mistake. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But I think we forget about all the things that led up to that. And as I reflect on Moses, he certainly was a great leader when it came to endurance. And that's what I'd like to reflect on this morning. I'd like to reflect on Moses and his leadership, his faithfulness. Certainly he was not a perfect leader, but I believe he was a faithful leader. And what I'd like to look at is that if Moses was a faithful leader, a good leader, the things that frustrated Moses are probably the same thing that frustrates our leaders today. If there were things that got under Moses' skin that bothered Moses as he was leading the children of Israel, perhaps these are things that we might do as followers that might get under our leader's skin. And I'd like to look at some of those this morning and reflect on those. Reflect on us as followers, but also reflect on Moses as a leader. And certainly there are many things that made, I think, Moses frustrated as he led the children of Israel. We're going to cover a lot of Bible today. We're really going to try to hit the highlights of Exodus and a lot of Numbers. So certainly have your Bibles open as we switch between these passages. But the first moment that I'd like to highlight of Moses' frustration is in Exodus chapter 32. But I think it would be only appropriate for us to look at things that happened before we get to Exodus chapter 32, which we're familiar with. This is when Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and what are the children of Israel doing? They have made a golden calf, and they are worshiping this golden calf. But you know what led up to that? You remember Moses growing up in Egypt? And he has the incident where he's seeing the Israelites being basically abused, and he intervenes, and he ends up killing an Egyptian. And that leads him to leaving Egypt, fleeing Egypt, and he lives in the wilderness. And he is going to be called back to Egypt through that burning bush. And he's going to take Aaron, and they are going to go to Egypt to free the Israelites who are enslaved in Egypt. And you know what? When Moses shows up there in Egypt, he doesn't necessarily receive a warm reception. He goes to Pharaoh and says, let the people go. And as he does, as he starts this process, is Pharaoh starts to make things harder on the Israelites. And you know what the Israelites start to say in Exodus chapter 5?
Leave us alone, Moses.
We don't want to be free. You're making it harder on us. Moses, please leave. So at the beginning of Moses' leadership, I'd say he's not really welcome. Like, oh yeah, we want to have Moses as a leader. They're trying to push him away from day one. Moses, get away. We don't need you. We don't want to be led to freedom. We're fine right here. We continue on. We have the plague with Moses and Aaron, and we have Passover and the death of the firstborn, and they are on the run now. They're on the run away from Egypt, and they're on their way to the Red Sea. And they get to the edge of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, and you know what the people say as they see those chariots coming? Let's go back to Egypt. Why did you take us out here to die? As you look in Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14, they start saying all kinds of things to Moses. Moses, were there not graves in Egypt? Moses, why did you take us out here to die? These chariots are coming towards them. And Moses had to say, don't be afraid. God will fight for us. I think the children of Israel lack faith. But what amazes me, and I think amazes us many times, is when we reflect on what the Israelites have been through. Have the Israelites not got to observe the plagues that were in Egypt? Yes, they have. And now they're on the edge of the Red Sea, and somehow their faith is lacking, and they're afraid that their God cannot deliver them. And those have said, don't be afraid. Have faith. God will fight for us. We haven't even made it to Mount Sinai yet. They complain when he shows up in Egypt. They give him a hard time at the edge of the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 16, they complain that they have no food, and they get manna from above. In Exodus chapter 17, they complain about water. Water is granted. We haven't even made it to Mount Sinai. Again and again and again, the people are complaining against Moses, rebelling against Moses, and sinning against Moses. We haven't even made it to Mount Sinai. Complained about food, complained about water, say, we're afraid. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Well, you've got to see the 10 plagues. Can you have faith that God will take care of us, that God will get us through this hard situation? Moses at the edge of the Red Sea, and he said, come on, we can have faith. God fight for us. Let's do this. We can do this. God will fight for us. And then he makes it to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, he has the Israelites there. They've already went through all this, and I'm really trying to set up context, because you could probably say four major times they've already complained against Moses, and we're at Mount Sinai. I tell you what, I don't know if I would respond if Moses responds in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, we have Moses. He goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, what happens? The people sin. And he comes down the mountain. God tells him to go down the mountain because he needs to see what the people are doing. And in Exodus chapter 32, in verse 19, it says, so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of the camp, and he broke them at the foot of the mountain. Moses was frustrated in this moment. There's no doubt about it. Why was Moses frustrated? Because God's people were sinning. You know what? Our leaders get frustrated when we sin. We, as followers of God, underneath the New Testament, as Christians, do you not know that when you sin, you frustrate our leaders? You put our leaders in a hard spot when we sin. And we've got social media today. Many brothers and sisters in Christ posting all kinds of things on social media that are engaged in sinful behavior, being around sinful behavior they're not even thinking about. It's frustrating our leaders. It puts our leaders in a hard spot, does it not? Moses comes down the mountain, he throws those tablets down, he breaks them. I tell you, I think Moses had a little bit more restraint of emotion than I would. I'm just being honest. Perhaps it's because I'm young, but I admire our elders, and I admire Moses, because he had a patience and endurance that I don't think I had. I think I might have done a little bit more with those tablets. You didn't want me to lead you when I showed up in Egypt. You didn't want me to, you didn't have faith at the Red Sea. You complained about food, you complained about water. Now we're here at Mount Sinai. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to get the Ten Commandments. I'm trying to bring them down. And why I delay, you are doing all this sinning. I might have did a little bit more with those tablets, I'm afraid to say. I don't know if I have the patience and endurance that Moses had. We frustrate our leaders when we sin, do we not? We see in the beginning of the chapter that Moses delays up the top of the mountain, verses 1 through 5. We see that God responds in verses 7 through 10. And God has a very harsh response in relation to people. And if you actually look at Moses in verses 11 through 14, Moses intercedes for the people. Now this is going to be a pattern that we're going to see through the timeline of Moses. Is the people are doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and many times it's against Moses himself, and you know what Moses does? He prays, he intercedes for the people that he's leading. Moses was a great man in this respect. Because I don't know if I'd respond in the same way. Blatantly sinning against the Lord? Making a golden calf when you got to see the 10 plagues. These are the same people that got to see the 10 plagues. These are the same people that went across the Red Sea on dry land as God pulled the waters back. Are the same people that worshiped a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. Moses intercedes verses 11 through 14, and Moses comes down the mountain and he sees what's going on. And we certainly see his frustration. You understand that you frustrate our leaders when you sin? We understand that we're not perfect individuals, but are you giving our leaders a hard time because you're living a worldly life? We see the discipline. You remember the discipline that happened at Mount Sinai? You get down there, chapter 32, you get to around, you get to some of these verses 19 through 21. So he breaks the tablet. Verse 20, he says, then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and scattered it in the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. That's some discipline. You think they'd remember that? It doesn't seem like they're going to, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like the children of Israel are going to remember this. He's frustrated that they were sinning, and he dealt with it. And you think it's easy for our elders to administer discipline? You think it's easy for them? Well, how about this, parents? Is it easy for you to discipline your children? You do it out of love. I don't know about you, it's very hard for me to discipline my children. I know it's good and right, it needs to be done, but it's not the easiest thing on my menu as a parent. When we sin, it frustrates good leaders. It frustrated Moses. We see it when he comes down off the mountain. We certainly see the discipline. I remember my mom, whenever I'd say bad words, I'd get the soap in my mouth. I don't know if they still do that today. She'd stick the soap in my mouth. And eventually, we graduated beyond the bars of soap. And mom had liquid soap. I might have got that on occasion. I think about that at Mount Sinai. They're kind of being given this discipline here that's being administered. Discipline's not pleasant in the moment. Hebrews says that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Discipline is a trainer. You do something bad, and then something is going to be in response to that. And when we don't respond to bad things, then what happens is they persist. And I think we see that idea in Ecclesiastes. Is when a punishment is not administered swiftly, then what happens is evil persists. And don't we not see that in our world? When there's no fear of punishment, when there's no discipline, evil persists. What do they have to do after almost every hurricane? They have to call in the National Guard. Why do they have to call in the National Guard? Because people don't fear punishment. They think they can get away with anything because all this tragedy has happened. And they run and they loot and they steal and they think, I'm not going to be punished. It's hard on leaders when we sin. Because leaders try to do the best they can to address it as best they possibly can. You understand you frustrate leaders when you sin. You know, they're going to leave Mount Sinai. And you think that perhaps the children of Israel would have learned their lesson. The children of Israel are going to be on the straight and narrow. They're never going to go off to the left hand. They're never going to go off to the right hand. Well, in Numbers chapter 10, they leave Mount Sinai. In Numbers chapter 11, once again, they're complaining about food. Wait. They complained four times before Mount Sinai. Moses comes down and sees them worshiping a golden calf. You think that they might get the message, but they leave Mount Sinai, and then once again they're complaining about food in Numbers chapter 11. Things aren't perfect. Things aren't the way we like it. We're going to complain about it. And that's exactly what they did in Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, I think verses 1 through 3, you see them having a general complaint. And you know how God addresses their general complaint? He addresses it with fire. That's what he does. Numbers chapter 11, they just have a general complaint, I believe, verses 1 through 3, and God addresses it with fire. You think that that would get the children of Israel's attention? It did not. They continue on, verses 4 through 9, and they say, you know what? We really want meat. We've had this manna, God. We have enough to sustain us. We have manna, and we have water, but you know what? We don't have any meat. And that's what they're complaining about this time, Numbers chapter 11. They say, we have no meat. And I think actually in Numbers chapter 11 we see Moses. Certainly you can see it at different places, but I think Moses does have a weak moment. Which, I mean, Moses already made it farther than I believe I would have. So I admire him in that respect. But in chapter 11, verses 10 through 14, he gives this idea of being all alone. You know what? That is not a strange idea to see from the servants of God. We see it from prophets, we see it from preachers, I think we see it in the New Testament from Christians, is that Satan tries to use that idea of loneliness on us, and he tries to use it very hard. Satan wants to think that we're the only ones trying to live a godly life. He wants to think that we're the only ones trying to serve the Lord. He wants to isolate us. And I think Moses, here, he feels isolated. I think I might have felt like this a little bit before this. But he kind of says, I'm all alone. And that's certainly what he expresses there in Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 14. Verses 16 and 17, we see a little bit of distribution of the load to try to help him. And God is going to grant them meat in chapter 11. And basically, God's going to say, you're going to have to eat it for the whole month. So we can't linger there too long. But in chapter 11, basically, we see them complaining again. Chapter 12, we're going to see the children of Israel, well, actually Aaron, and Moses' sister there, we're going to see that Aaron and Mira, they're trying to go against Moses because he's married an Ethiopian woman in Numbers chapter 12. Now you think about this. Now they're going after Moses' family. They're complaining about his leadership. They're frustrated with the things that are going on. They just keep complaining and complaining and complaining. I mean, it's just all through. You read Exodus through Numbers, you're going to see it time and time again. But here in Numbers chapter 12, it takes a little bit of a turn because some people in Moses' close circle actually turn on him. And it appears that they're turning on him because he's married an Ethiopian woman. So now they're going after Moses' wife. I don't know about you. But those are some of the biggest struggles I've had in my life when people went after my family. People have went after my family. It doesn't bother me as much when people come after me. I've had people come after me. But when they come after my family, that hurts on a whole other level. In Numbers chapter 12, they're going after Moses' family. You know, I almost look at Moses, and for a moment, can you not just have a moment of emotion, feeling for Moses? And just say, look at what Moses has done up until this point. They didn't want him at the start of this process. They didn't want him when they were going to Mount Sinai. They didn't want him at Mount Sinai, and they sent him out Sinai. They left Mount Sinai. They're still complaining. They're still frustrated. They're still doing things. And they come after Moses' family. You think it would end there? Numbers chapter 13 and 14. They left Mount Sinai. They're complaining about food. They're complaining about Moses and his relationship. And actually, interesting about that situation real quick is Mira actually gets leprosy. God says, you're going to speak against Moses. You're going to speak about his wife. He strikes Mira with leprosy. And you know what Moses does almost immediately? He prays for her. The individual that's complaining about his wife struck with leprosy, and Moses immediately said, we need to intervene. And Aaron's there as well, intervened. But I tell you, talk about praying for kind of your enemies in a moment, somebody that speaks against your wife. Moses and his endurance is something that amazes me as I study this. Verses chapter 13 through 14, finally they've left Mount Sinai, they complained about food, they're trying to poke at Moses and his wife, and now they get to the edge of the promised land. And certainly you know that story. We send in the spies, 40 days they spy it out, Joshua and Caleb, they are the only good spies to return a good report. The rest of the spies say that we can't do it, and in chapter 14 verses 1 through 4, what do we see? The children of Israel are complaining and rebelling. In fact, Joshua and Caleb in verses 6 through 9 in chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb say, come on, everybody, we can do this. We can do this. So they continue to complain. In fact, they want to stone Joshua and Caleb. God is aroused and he is angry at this in verses 11 and 12. And then guess what Moses does again? Moses, you can't be wrong this again. He does it again. Moses in Numbers chapter 14, verses 13 through 19, Moses intercedes for the people again. Can you not admire Moses' endurance? Can you not admire the heart of Moses? Can you not admire the sacrifice of Moses? Now, I'm probably just like everybody else. We highlight people's mistakes. Remember Moses when he's at the burning bush and God tells him to go to Egypt? What does Moses do? He tries to come up with three reasons why he's not going to be a leader. He says, I'm not going to be a leader. You know why? No one's going to listen to me. I'm not going to be a leader. And he kind of rattles off those excuses. This is the same man all the way down here. Look at all the sacrifice and look at all he is doing for the children of Israel. They're at the edge of the promised land. This is where Moses is supposed to take them. Think about being so close to the finish line and then get turned back. Don't you think Moses almost took a sigh of relief when they sent him the spies? It's like, hey, I've taken you from Egypt across the Red Sea. I took you up Mount Sinai. I've taken you through the wilderness. We're at the edge of the promised land. You don't think that maybe just a little human side of Moses might have said, you know what, we made it. We're here. Just a few more steps. And then they rebel and complain. We can't take the land. They try to stone Joshua and Caleb. They turn them back. God is angry in verses 11 and 12. Verses 13 through 19, Moses intercedes for the people. You know, I think we look at the children of Israel and we make a big mistake. What big mistake do we make? I think many times we look at the children of Israel and we say, we are better than them. Well, we've seen a lot of mistakes so far, but, you know, we think we're better than the children of Israel. We're actually better off than the children of Israel in many respects. Why? Because we get to read about all this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 through 11, it says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. You know, we're really better than the children of Israel in many respects, because we get to read about all these examples, and we get to see how God responds to sin, how he responds to complaining, how he responds to rebelling. But do we listen to those lessons? Do we listen to them? Because these were recorded for our learning. We think of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. All this was recorded for our learning, so I believe that we can be good followers and we can be good leaders. Good followers and good leaders. Moses has already been through a lot, and at the end of the promised land, when they reject God, Moses still intercedes for the people. Moses certainly took some hits, did he not? And you know what? So many times our leaders, I think, step in on our behalf and try to do the best they can to intervene for us. Complaining before Mount Sinai, complaining after Mount Sinai, they get to the edge of the promised land, they spy it out, they reject it, they're going to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know what? It's not over for Moses yet. The people say, oh, we can take it, we can take it. We don't want to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So they try to launch an attack, and they're defeated. And then Moses is leading the Israelites where? He's leading them backwards. They're going back to the wilderness, and he's going to lead these individuals. And what happens to Moses in the wilderness? They're complaining all the more. Look at Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, if you turn your Bibles over there, we have a rebellion. And this is, I think, really a large-scale rebellion against Moses and Aaron. You see in Numbers chapter 16, there's a rebellion. And I think really when you look at the discussion that's being had, is they don't really like Aaron and Moses' leadership. So they're basically trying to, our modern terms, you know, a mutiny. A coup. They want to change leadership. Numbers chapter 16, we got the sons of Korah, but really it's a lot more than that. In verses 2 and 3, you see a rising up. In verses 4 through 10, Moses tries to talk to them. He tries to talk them down, is what I think he's trying to do. He's trying to say, is this really what you want to do? You really think that I'm not the leader? And he tried to talk back and forth, and he says, oh, God's going to show you who the leader is. God's going to show you who the leader is. We see verses 11 through 17 that this rebellion, it involves a lot of different people. There's going to be individuals that have their sins lit, and we're also going to have individuals close to their tent. Verses 19 through 26, the rebels, God tells Moses and Aaron to separate from these rebels. They've got rebels kind of by the tabernacle, they've also got some by the tent, and God tells them to separate from these rebels. These people that have been disobedient, that are challenging Moses and really Aaron as the appropriate leader. These people are rebelling. And you know what happens? If some of these rebels are swallowed up by fire, and the other rebels are swallowed up by the earth. Now that's a pretty intense picture, is it not? That's a lesson for us today, is it not? To rebel? What's the opposite of rebelling? I think that's important for us to lay down. What's the opposite of rebelling? I'd say obeying. That's my personal opinion when I think about it. Obey or rebel. And what we have in Numbers chapter 16 is a large segment of the children of Israel that says, we're going to rebel against Moses and we're going to rebel against Aaron. And God addresses it. And how does he address the rebels? He addresses it with fire and swallowing up of some of these individuals. Do we rebel against our leaders? I don't know if the text really leads us to this conclusion, but as a human being, just looking at Moses, I'd be frustrated in this situation. I'd be frustrated when people rebel. I'd be frustrated when people rebel and they're not going to do those things that they're supposed to do. Now, what kills me about this situation in Numbers chapter 16 is basically you have this rebellion. It's addressed with individuals being swallowed up and also fire consuming them. And verse 41, it just really boggles my mind. What do the people do in verse 41? Numbers chapter 16, verse 41, it says, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. I'll tell you, that one just makes my jaw drop. These people have rebelled against Moses and Aaron. God has swallowed them up with fire and has had the earth swallow them up. And the children of Israel say, Moses, Aaron, what did you do? Why did you deal so harshly with these men of God? You know what? Sadly, I've seen that in the Lord's church. If the elders step in on a cancerous situation, they deal with it, and then the children of God go, why did you deal with that situation? Why did you do that? And they try to tear down the leaders. That individual was rebellious. That individual was not listening and doing what they should be doing. And it was dealt with. And you know what? This is why I feel so much for Moses. Condemned if you do, condemned if you don't. Right? Moses addresses the rebels. God addresses the rebels. He addresses the rebels are addressing the situation. And what do the people say? Why did you address the situation? Why did you intervene? And our elders constantly fall into situations where if they don't intervene, the congregation is destroyed. But if they do intervene, they will be attacked. And the longer I live, I look at leaders and I admire them all the more for all the hits they take for us by dealing with situations and doing things that are good and right. There's a lot of things that our elders touch that fall into the realm of opinion. There are certain things that the Bible says, and certainly they execute those to the best of their ability, but there's sometimes that the elders are dealing with stuff in the realm of opinion. And when those situations come, we need to submit. We do not need to rebel because they've got a lot on their plate. They do not need a rebellious people on their hands. It just creates more problems. So doesn't that kill you? In verse 41, these people have been swallowed up by the earth and been consumed by fire, and they say, Moses, why did these people get swallowed up? Moses, why did these people get consumed by fire? Do you submit to the elders? Do you obey the elders? I admire our elders so much. I admire all the leaders of the Lord's church. I admire Moses for all their sacrifices and all the things that they do. So this is the question for you today. I think rebellion frustrates a leader of God. And the question for you as a follower is, do you rebel? Well, what's the opposite of rebellion? It's obey. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to have to swallow our pride and obey when it's in an area of opinion. If the elders have made a decision, this is a decision they made, we've got to suck up our pride and say, this is a decision they made. There is a decision that the elders have made that I haven't agreed with. But you know what? When I look at the Bible, I say, well, is there anything biblically that they are wrong here. And when I answered no, I submitted to what they said, because trial is not running this show. When we look at the Bible, the churches of the Lord, the churches of Christ, we look at the organization, and it's supposed to have elders. And if a congregation of Lord's people doesn't have elders, they are lacking. Let's not be a rebellious people. Let's obey. Because that's what the Bible says. Let's obey. And you know what? That will make our leader's job a whole lot easier. It would have made Moses' job easier if these people would have obeyed and not rebelled. Once again, the elders did not ask me to preach this lesson. This came from my dad. My dad said, I want to talk to Moses. I want to talk to him about his endurance. How at Mount Sinai they were sinning. And how in the wilderness they rebelled against him. And yet he kept pushing on. Do not rebel. Let's obey. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive. For they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. We've got to see the people sin. I think that frustrated Moses. The people rebel. That frustrated Moses. And we see the people complain. And we kind of get to the pinnacle in Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, wait. These people are swallowed by the earth, and some of them are burned up with fire, and they're still wandering in the wilderness, and they're still complaining? Yes, they're still complaining. In Numbers chapter 20, Moses finds himself here, which we've looked at many times, and God gives the Moses specific instructions how to get the water out of this rock, and he violates it. Now, I'm not justifying what Moses did, but can we not see Moses' long journey to get him here? Because I think I might have taken those tablets and whacked somebody upside the head. What are you doing? I think Moses had more patience and endurance than I did. He's taken them from Mount Sinai. He's taken them from the edge of the promised land. Now he's wandering in the wilderness with them, and they're still complaining after God has swallowed up individuals and fire has come out and consumed them. And yes, Moses makes a mistake in Numbers chapter 20. I'm not trying to justify it, but you know something else that frustrates our leaders, I believe, that frustrated Moses, is the complaining. Moses has been dealing with complaining all this long journey. And I think finally, as he's here at Kadesh, I think it just kind of gets to him. And I'm not justifying what he did. He disobeyed. But I think we should at least reflect on that. What frustrates the leader of God? Sin, rebellion, and I think complaining. You know, we're not supposed to be complainers. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. You know, why would we complain for free? And I think the Israelites constantly struggle with that. You know, you're at the edge of the Red Sea. We want to go back to Egypt. Wait, you want to go back to slavery? You're free. And Mount Sinai, they start worshiping the golden calf that clearly did not get them out of Egypt. They say, oh, we want to worship the gods of the Egyptians. Wait, you want to worship the God that you were in slavery under. You know, you get to the edge of the promised land. Just time and time again, I mean, when we put things in perspective, we are free. Free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know if we should really be complaining about anything. And I know we're human and we're not perfect. But, you know, this happens here in Numbers chapter 20. And you think, this is it, right? Moses makes this big mistake, and he is not going to be able to enter the promised land because of it. Surely, the children of Israel will stop complaining now. No, Numbers chapter 20 is where we're at. If you continue on, you will see in Numbers chapter 21, they're complaining about food again. And you know what God sends through the camp? He sends fiery serpents. I think fiery is really supposed to show their color, not necessarily a trait of the serpent, but I think it's talking about their color. But they're complaining about food again, and in Numbers chapter 21, he sends serpents through the camp, and they're bitten, and then Moses has to put the bronze serpent up on the staff. Wait, they're not done complaining yet? No, they're not done complaining. In Numbers chapter 25, we see the children of Israel, they get involved with the people of Moab. They start having sexual relationships that they shouldn't be having. It was a long road for Moses, was it not? A long road for Moses leading the people of God. These are supposed to be the people of God. What do we see the people of God doing? We see the people of God sinning. We see the people of God rebelling. We see the people of God complaining. I do not want to give our leaders a hard time. Our leaders have sacrificed far too much for me to give them a hard time. Look at Moses. Moses is not a perfect individual. I'm not trying to say that this morning. But you look at Moses, you go all the way back to the beginning of his leadership, did Moses really want to leave? No, he did not. And when individuals sacrifice for us, and they say, I will try to lead to the best of my ability. Am I perfect? No. But when I try to lead to the best of my ability, I think I have an obligation to those leaders. I think when I look at those leaders and I respect everything that they do, I look at those leaders and say, you know what? If sin frustrates my leaders, I will not sin. I will try to be holy. Because my God is holy. I will not be perfect, but I will do the best I can to avoid sin. When I look at my leaders, I will not rebel. I will try to obey. If I cannot find something in the Bible that goes against what they're saying, I will submit and I will obey. Well, you say, I don't like that idea. Christianity is all about obeying. Obey God, obey Jesus, obey parents, obey our elders, I believe, obey the government. It's all about obeying. God is the author of salvation to all who obey. And certainly when it comes to complaining, I want to try to bring solutions. I want to help. I want to assist. I don't want to be part of the problem. I pray that I'm not part of the problem as a preacher here at Sandyville. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a good servant. That's the question for you. Are you a good servant? Are you sinning? Or are you trying to live righteously? Live righteously. Are you rebelling or obeying? I want to try to obey. Are you complaining or trying to come up with solutions? We should support our leaders. They have sacrificed so much for us. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I look at Moses. Gave up so much for the people of God. And our leaders certainly give up so much for us. You know, in Exodus chapter 17, I think we see a beautiful picture. The Israelites are in a battle. They're only being successful when Moses' arms are raised up. And you know what? A couple people, I think Aaron and Hur, they come up and hold his arms up. Can we support our leaders? Can we do everything in our power to support them and not bring them frustration? Let's do right. Let's act right. Let's speak right. And let's go home. Because certainly, that's where our leaders are trying to take us. That's where Moses is trying to take them. He's trying to take them to the promised land. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We would love to help you any way we can this morning to become as we stand and as we sing.